Welcome to the podcast of Trailblazers Incorporated, where we share the stories of trailblazing tradeswomen in hopes to inspire others to join the trades.
Hello, everyone. Today's podcast for Trailblazers, Inc. is with the UA goddess, Janet Powers Pacella from UA Local 638 in New York. She is currently a business agent, but she's got an amazing story. So I'd like to just hand it over to you, Janet, and please tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got into the trades and maybe a little bit of history, whatever you feel like sharing.
Okay, great. Hi, Jill. Thank you. That was a nice introduction. How I got into the trades, let's see. Well, I was actually born in Brooklyn and raised on Long Island in New York. My father was a steam fitter, so I'm a second generation. And actually, an opportunity came up to get into the apprenticeship. While I was going to college, I was going to college in Manhattan, FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology. And I was in my second year, and he called and said, there's an opportunity. And a lot of the guys that he worked with, you know, that generation, like, I don't think you should let your daughter get in. I don't know. My father said, well, you really don't know my daughter very well. I think she'll do very good at it. She's very handy, crafty, very personable. And she's tough and she can handle it. So I said, sure, Dad, I'd like to try it. And I got into the apprenticeship. I went through the ranks and I loved it. I stuck with it. It was 5 years. And I wanted to stick it out because I didn't finish college, you know, so I figured I wanted to stick with that. And I went through the 5-year apprenticeship and I got into it. I loved the welding, the camaraderie, being on a different job every couple of months or every few years. I was never really the office type. I like to do things, you know, like people always say, with your hands and all, your mind, your hand. And I really got into it and I loved it. So that's basically, you know, how I got started, really, my dad.
Yeah, that's funny. Me too. That's great. So why did you pick, now what is your trade?
I'm a steam fitter by trade. We're the Enterprise Association of Steam Fitters Local Union 638, New York City and Long Island. And steam fitter is our trade, and we do everything. We do sprinklers, welding, fitting, HVAC, hydraulics, anything, you know, to steam, boilers. So we're covered under the whole steam fitter thing. So welding is a tool of our trade. We all, you know, not all of us, some people just can't do it or don't like it, but we come out certified. And welding was one of the big things I really got into in my second year. And I was really probably one of the only female welders. So all the guys got a kick out of it. We're going to make a welder out of you, girl, you know, and they did. So I got into it and I graduated certified with everything, you know, copper, brazing, soldering, all that, you know, and we do sprinklers in New York. So we're covered under this, you know, steam fitters do sprinklers and HVAC.
Well, that's, you know, there's such a difference between Canada and the United States in that way, because my UA local in Calgary also does sprinkler fitting and pipe fitting and plumbing, but we're all separate. Like, right. I'm only a welder, right?
Right.
And I mean, I know a little bit because of working so long in the industry. I know a little bit about the other stuff, but yeah. And your apprenticeship is 5 years as well. Mine is only three. So there are quite a few differences. What would you say is your favorite thing about your trade of choice?
My favorite thing is about is probably the brotherhood and sisterhood, the camaraderie, the friendships I made along the way with, you know, people that my father hung out with. I got along with great, and their kids and cousins and uncles, and just the brotherhood and sisterhood and, you know, the loyalty to each other and friends for life, you know. And like, I'll have people call me that are, you know, when I was in my 20s that were in their 60s. I was teamed up with guys that were in their 50s and 60s, and we hit it off and got along great. And we had that connection, even though we were from different generations, you know, and we had that bond. So we got along and we clicked.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, you have a good point there, because when I do talk to apprentices here, I say to them, go to work with the older generations, because you're going to learn so much. There's so much that they can share with us that you won't get in a textbook or in a classroom, right? There's some tried and true little tips and tricks that they can share with us. That's just, I just tell the apprentices, be a sponge.
Absolutely. The things you're going to learn from that generation and those, you know, journeymen, you know, what you're going to keep and take for life. And till this day, I have a couple of partners that are deceased. Of course, they got up there and passed away. But the ones that are retired still call me to this day, and they come out and vote for me, you know, and it's great. And I keep in touch with them. You know, I make a point of it, you know.
Well, and that's the next thing I want to get into. You have been in a couple of elected positions. The position you're in right now, you are elected, which goes to show the support that you have from the membership. So tell us about the elected positions that you have been in.
Okay, well, first, right out of my time, we were on a job, and a lot of the guys were talking about running for, we were having our elections. And some of the guys came up to me and said, you should run. I had no idea or even thought of it. You know, I was just working at a cogen in JFK, a trigen actually. And they were like, you should run. And I was like, really? So the first opportunity I was able to get to throw my book in, my father nominated me, which was great. And he said to me, sweetie, he goes, don't be so upset if you don't win. It's a, you know, it's still a man's world and they're, you know, control the business. And I said, hey dad, I'm taking a shot. And when he nominated me at nominations, and you could appreciate this because you were just nominated, which I'm so psyched about, that the president took my book. You know, we did the old school way. We throw it in the blanket. You have your trustees up and down and trustees pick it out. And that's your number on the ballot, you know. And then he hands it to the president. And the president calls your name off. And my name, of course, is hyphenated because I'm married. It was Janet. He just said Janet Powers, which was fine. And because that's how I go by in the union. I'm known as Powers. Powerhouse, you know, and
I love it. Powerhouse.
When I went to go get my book from him at the nominations, he just handed it to me. He said, congratulations. And I said, well, what do you mean, Jack? I didn't win yet. He goes, you just made history. And I was like, what, how? And he goes, you were the first woman ever nominated in the history of Local 638. And I was like, wow, yay. Thank you. So from that moment on, I had made history, right? So my father was hanging out in the bars with the guys. It's a big thing in New York, election day, and everybody's out. And we have the streets closed off. And, you know, we have 8,400 members, 86, 84. So it's a big day. And I came back into the bar at the end when they tally everything up. And I was like, Dad, I won. And I never seen my father cry. And he just started crying. And he couldn't believe it. I won. And I ran for finance board. So I started off with finance board. I did two terms. And when I went from, I just got on, there was five on, and I just got on, I came in fifth, I believe. Then I ran again in the next term, and I got number one. So then I stayed on that for two terms, which is three, each term is 3 years. And then I moved up to executive board. And, you know, again, in our business, people were saying we'll never have a female on the executive board. Well, it took me three tries, and the third time was the charm, and I got on, and I came in third, I think, out of four. And then I stayed on that for one term, and I went another term, and I came number one. And in the meantime, I did run for the conferences, you know, the UA conventions. And I kept moving up in those votes every 5 years. And eventually, after the executive board, I came number one at the convention vote. Came number one on the executive board. Then I took a shot, and I said, it's time for me to move. That was just my thing. And I went for vice president. And I lost by 29 votes. So I was a little bummed out, but I just went right back to work the next day.
That's not by much, though.
Not by much. And I ran against a great guy who's now our vice president, who had many years in the business. He was probably in his 50s, you know, mid to late 50s. And he said he was going to stay and do a couple of terms. So I said, well, not going to run against him because he's doing a great job and everybody loves him. And he's still with us, you know, as a vice president. He's kind of like Santa Claus. How can you run against Santa Claus, right? I decided to run for business agent. I took a leap. Yes. And I was, you know, and I made it. I made it the first time out running for business agent. And I was the first female business agent in the history of Local 638. And
that was phenomenal.
My second term. I ran again, of course, my second term, and I moved up from like five or six to number three. So I'm doing pretty good. Yeah. And that tells, the membership tells, you know.
Exactly. And that's the memberships. Yeah. That's an elected position. That's not a job you apply for. And your resume may speak, you know, it's the people that have spoken. And I mean, you're changing history, right? I mean, you're the first, you know, you're the first of a lot of things. And in New York, that speaks volumes, right? It really speaks volumes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
proud to know you, proud to call you a sister for sure.
Thank you.
Is that
I always say
fantastic.
Yeah, there's definitely been women that came after me. There's women on the finance committee since me. And there's a couple of course, women going for the conventions since me. And I just always say I'm the first business agent, but hopefully I'm not the last female business agent, you know?
Absolutely. And I've had conversations about my journey now, too, because you are a trailblazer, and I look up to you for all of that you have done, right? And if, I mean, I just ran for the executive board at my local, so we'll see what happens. We find out in a few weeks if I do get in. So, yeah, I think I might be a few of the first as well. So, absolutely. Yes, people like you are very, very inspiring. Very inspiring, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
A trailblazer,
much.
Right? Okay, so I have a list of questions here that I wanted to ask you. I think you've kind of answered a lot of them, but I do want to ask what obstacles you have overcome along your way, because, I mean, you've already mentioned a lot that that you've been through, but just to kind of break it down, what kind of obstacles have you overcome?
Well, the obstacles you overcome is, you know, you're always trying to prove yourself in this business as a woman, you know? And that had come from a Dutch uncle of mine who, when I was trying to decide on where I was going to run and what I was going to do, he had said, keep in mind that you're always proving yourself in our trade, in our business as a woman. We work harder and to prove ourselves because we're always getting, you know, watched and, you know, see if she can lift this pipe and see if she can do this. And then you prove yourself, which I feel like I have. But not only with our trade or our brothers and sisters, you got the other trades. You go on a job as an agent, you're proving yourself to them as well, you know, and he gave me some good advice that it wouldn't just be always trying to prove yourself, but proving yourself with other trades, other business agents, other people. I, knock wood, I really have no problem with other business agents in other trades, like the tin knockers, the electricians, the plumbers. I get along with everybody. I have a great personality, and I overcame that fear, but I'm doing pretty good with that. Other obstacles, basically, you know, just some guys that just felt like, you know, this is women should be home barefoot and pregnant. But I won them over. You know, I really did because I know my job. I learned my job. I got into it. I loved it. You could see when somebody cares about it and cares what it looks like. Right. And cares at the end of the day that you did enough and you feel good about yourself. I always felt like if you can go home and look in the mirror and like what you see, then it's a good day, you know. So
yeah, no, and like I said, you know, you got elected to the positions that you're in right now, and the e-board that you were in before, so you do have the respect of the people, so you have proven yourself time and time again for sure, and it's so amazing, so amazing. I have a couple more questions. Did you have other women that when you were going through your journey, were there other women that you could look up to?
Yes, I had a couple of women on the job that I looked up to, but they never got into politics. So I know they were older than me, and they were, I considered them trailblazers, you know, a couple of them that got in before me in the trade. And I looked up to them, and they always reached out to me and took me under their wing and was like, you know, would talk to me and call me and all. But they never got into running for office, or maybe they didn't feel like they could. But I made that move, you know, so they were very proud of me, and they were behind me and supported me 100%, you know. So I really was, you know, fortunate to have a couple of them, you know, in my corner, you know. And a couple of the women that I did go through the apprenticeship with or was here, and they didn't finish, or they didn't like it, or they went and had babies and they left, you know. So I think even though a couple of women may be older than me, they kind of look up to me because I'm the one who broke that glass ceiling for them, and I did it, you know. So
yeah, and I think it's really important to have people you can look up to, whether they're older or younger, right? Whether they were there before or not. But I really think if you can see it, you can be it. Now that you have broken that glass ceiling, I think a lot of women are going to be brave enough to run for the boards and stuff. So trailblazer for sure you are, absolutely. So what does a day in the life of Janet Powers Pacella look like?
Okay, so the day in the life of a business agent, it's 24/7, Jill, doesn't end, you know. It was one thing to have said when you left the job and you closed that gang box and you shut your radio off for the day, your job was done. You went home to your family, it was done. This, it doesn't happen. It's 24/7, we got work going on day, night, weekends, overtime. A lot of meetings, a lot of phone calls. The phone doesn't stop. It blows up and it keeps going. You know, I try to end my Friday with a good call and hope that that's the last call of the night, even if it's 7 or 8 and it's a good one. I try to end it on that call, you know, and not go into the weekend with a catastrophe of something bad. But it happens. You got to jump in your car and go, you know. But out here in Long Island where I live, it's very political. You know, our political action is very big out here, and the politics, you know, play a big part of it. So we go to a lot of political events. We do a lot of fundraisers. We interview a lot of the politicians for our support. They feel very strongly getting the backing of the building trades, the AFL-CIO, the Long Island Federation of Labor. If they have that on their resume, they feel good, because out here, a lot of the work is, you know, you get a lot of help from the politicians. We help them, they help us, you know. So politically, it's very involved that way too. So it's a lot. It's, you know, it's busy, but it's a good busy. And you just don't turn it off, you know, like you did at work. You can turn it off, forget about it, and on Monday you come back to it and you're into it. But this doesn't get turned off, which is not a bad thing, you know. That's the day in the life.
Well, and it shows your dedication to what you believe in, right? Too, because I mean, this is your second term. You obviously kicked butt on the first term, and you liked it enough to do it again, right? And yeah. I suspect you'll be doing it again and again.
Absolutely. But yes,
I mean, I don't even know what to say. You're doing amazing things. So my final question for you is: do you have any advice for others that are looking to join the trades, whether they're in the United States or Canada?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think that if you do feel intimidated, definitely get over that. You'll get on the job. You'll push yourself to learn your skill. If you learn the skill, like you, Jill, and myself, if you learn how to weld, you very rarely will be out of work. If you learn how to read blueprints, learn how to fuse copper, hot works, learn how to use a torch, learn how to set up and use a torch, learn the trade and learn the skill. And you'll always have it. They can't take it away. And when it comes time to picking or choosing who they're going to have on the job, whether you're a female or not, you're the one who knows the job and you are skilled at it. So go for it. If you like it, you love it, and you're going to do it, you know. But definitely learn and definitely get certified in everything that they will give you in the apprenticeship. Get it all, because it's a gift. They're giving it to you. You know, take it all in and do it. And don't be afraid to ask questions. Ask the older journeyman, like, hey, if I don't understand this, show me this. Because if you keep going along like you understand it, then when it's your turn to say, here's the prince, where are you going to start? You need to know. And it's not going to take just your apprenticeship. It's going to take years after that to really get the mind's eye and to know where we're going to start. Now, I got into running work. I was deputy foreman. I was foreman on jobs. And I was also shop steward, appointed and elected many times. So I held all those hats, and, you know, and rigging too. I learned how to rig, which I loved. I jumped on the truck. I rigged 80-inch pipe with a walkie-talkie. You know, I rigged big pipe, and then I got into the job where I would weld it out as well. You know, and it just learn your trade. Nobody could ever take that away from you, ever, if you know what you're doing.
That is awesome. That is amazing. Yes, and it's so, so very true. I think you all, again, answered the next question. Not that it's really a question. I want to hand it over to you, and I want you to share anything that you think is important to share that maybe I haven't asked you. Anything you want to add before we close up our podcast?
Well, basically, like I said, if you don't know, ask somebody, because if you go along pretending that you know, or you didn't really get it, even in school, you get most of the experience on the job, as we know. School's important, theory's important. You know, doing blueprints and reading. When you get out in the field, the blueprints are different than what they are in school. We all know that. And every contractor has a different engineer and somebody else, who a different draftsman, who draws them up. So you have to learn that draftsman's style, right? So everywhere you go, it's different. But if you get the basics down, reading blueprints are great. You can run work, you know, which is a big thing. A lot of people in our trade don't know how to read blueprints, and I never understood that. It's hard, but once you get it, it clicks, and you're going to be like, that aha moment's going to come over you and be like, oh my God, even though draftsmen are different on different, you know, jobs. And of course we build a lot of different things in New York, from a lot of powerhouses to skyscrapers, mechanical rooms. You can walk in a mechanical room and you need to know where to start. Once you get your starting point, then you go from there, you know? And that's one of the most important things, is to learn how to read blueprints, learn how to do everything you're asking everybody else to do. If you know how to do it, then you're gonna be good at it. And that's another thing with a business agent. Like a lot of the guys I talk to, you know, along the way, and we go campaigning, and they said, if I work with somebody I knew they could do the job, and they were a good steam fitter, and they did their job, then I think they would be good at being a business agent, you know, representing the membership, you know? So that's one of my things, that just learn and don't be afraid to ask, you know, because you're never going to learn if you don't ask. So
yeah, and that's very, very true. I mean, I've been an instructor a couple times, and that's what I say too. You know, there's no such thing as a stupid question when you're that's in the trades, right? You ask, don't be embarrassed to ask, because we don't expect you to know. You're learning. Even when we're in the positions we're in right now, ask the questions. We don't expect you to know everything.
Don't
right?
be ashamed to ask and to be shown and say, listen, or jump in too. A lot of apprentices stand there and they don't jump in. And I was like, every apprentice I had, I'd be like, come on, you want to do this? You want to weld? Do you want to learn how to use a torch? And if they were shy, I'd throw it in their hands. And then they did it. And then they liked it. And they went after it. They're like, can we do it again? I'd be like, every day, you know? That's what they do to teach.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you see the pride, right? The pride that they actually did it, right? Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. Okay, Janet, I've taken up a lot of your time. I so appreciate your time, because I know you're busy. And like you said, it's 24/7. Nobody else knows that we're doing this podcast on a Saturday morning, but we are. And I mean, I know your phone's going off even now. So I will close out the call. I so appreciate your time and you doing the podcast to share your story with everybody else, because you're doing amazing things, and women are watching and they're inspired. You are a true trailblazing tradeswoman, a business agent from local UA local 638 in New York. Proud to call you my friend. So it's an honor. Thank you so much, Janet. I'm going to close out the podcast now, but don't go anywhere. I want to chat with you after we're done, just for a couple of minutes. Okay.
Sure. Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thank you so much, Janet. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and check us out at trailblazersinc.ca.